I'm going to read from the King James Version. And we're speaking on grace, the topic of grace. And John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'm going to read Psalm 119, 130. Good to read it and meditate upon it. The declaration, well, that's the entrance of thy words, giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I like Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Hallelujah. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we shared this at the opening lesson last week. Oh, we've been teaching this for a few lessons on the topic is greater grace. We're to grow in grace. It says that we to grow in the grace of God. So these lessons I shared last week, these lessons are for information, but not just for information. It's primarily for transformation, that we want to be transformed by the Word of God. And I read from 2 Corinthians 3:18, and I'll read this from the New Living Translation. It says, "So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." How are we going to be changed? By the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is going to change us through the Word of God. So we're changed into his image from glory to glory. And I like the Amplified. It says, "We are constantly being transfigured," and I like that word better than transformed. We're transfigured, and when you read the scriptures, anywhere that you see the word transformed, like in Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That word transformed means to be transfigured. And if you look it up in more of the other modern translations, the word transformed in the Greek means metamorphou. That's what it means, like a butterfly that's being transformed, you know what I mean. Too many syllables. So anyways, we're transfigured into God's image by the Word of God. And so I like this. In the Amplified, it says that we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this conveys a process. This isn't an instant thing. When you got born again, your spirit was changed. It says, "Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new." One second you were old, next second you were brand new. This transfiguring is a process. And it is a process that is by the Lord, who is the Spirit. And it is, says here, it's from one degree or splendor of glory to another. And so we can see here that that process is, we can see it, we'll walk through today where we can see how that process actually occurred. But in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom, Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And I like that word, stand. And no need to tell you what the, you know, what the Greek word is, but the definition of that Greek word means to stand immovable. It means the foundation of a building. And when you look at Luke 6 or Matthew 7, when it talks about the house being built on a rock, I like Luke 6 because it says the person, the man, dug down deep and built a foundation on a rock. That means he dug down deep. It doesn't say that in Matthew 7, but in Luke 6 it says the man dug down deep and built on a foundation, this foundation that he was building for the house, so when life's issues came, the house stood. And so as we grow in grace, what are we doing? We're building a foundation upon a rock so that when life's troubles come, we're not swept away. And you can read, and we'll go over there today, you can see the troubles and the issues that Paul had in his ministry. And he was ready to give up, and even he, who had gone to heaven and heard words unspeakable in this realm, God said, when he said, I've had enough, he said, my grace is sufficient. That's the foundation. That is the foundation. Jesus is the rock. He said, he is grace and truth. He's the rock that you built on. Grace is what you built on. And so as we grow in grace, we're building this, you could call it grace foundation, on the rock. And we grow in grace. So today, I want to pick up, kind of pick up where we left off last week. And last week I asked a couple of questions. If you want to kind of hook up, I'm not going to go over what we covered last week. But I asked two things that the Lord, and just in a time of prayer, the Lord asked me two questions. What is the condition of your heart, and why do you blame other people? And so we asked those two questions. What is the condition of your heart? And we went through and spent some time looking at that, looking at Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, come the issues of life. And so the condition of our heart is paramount where grace is concerned, because if your heart is affected, so is your faith, and your faith is what's needed to access this grace. So the condition of our heart is absolutely paramount in life, that we cannot let any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness, nothing should get in our heart that affects its condition. So when the Lord asked that question, what is the condition of your heart, it is key. It's center most, and that's what even the writer of Proverbs said, guard your heart with all diligence, to the utmost. I think some of the God's Word translation says, guard your heart more than anything else, because out of it determines the direction and the successes and failures in your life. So guarding one's heart is important. And I read, you know, these other scriptures where it said, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. And I want to pick up from there today on a facet of this that I think will help all of us. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. The New Living Translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Because out of your heart come, as they say, the issues of life or the extremities. What you think is going to determine what you believe in and whatever you believe is what you're going to start saying. And it's going to determine your destiny. Let's turn over to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. And when I was down in South Carolina at a Kenneth Copeland meeting in October, Colossians chapter 1 and starting in verse 9, Dr. Bill Winston made a comment that I thought was very interesting. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. He said the Lord told him to slow down and to listen. Slow down and listen. And because you can get busy and, you know, whether you're, you know, working or whether you're at home, whether you're a business owner, you know, we all can get busy. You're in the ministry. You get busy. You're the head of a ministry. You get busy. And you can get so busy that you don't listen. And so the Lord told him to slow down and listen. And I thought those were very insightful points because obviously he was too busy. When the Lord tells you slow down and listen, that means you're too busy. And the complexities of life can cause that. And but guess what? What does the word say? Unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. It also says that whatever we do, we're to trust the Lord. So whatever we're doing, and it could be that, you know, even when I was a young person, you know, if I had known and built my foundation as a young person to look to God for direction, I wouldn't have made some of the mistakes that I made. I'm convinced of it. I know that. And so it's important, and it doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. I hope that, because as we're growing in grace, we're going to make some mistakes. There was a message, I don't mean to digress here, but at Men's Fellowship yesterday, we showed a video from one of the messages that we saw at the Men's Convention at Rhema in November. And this young man taught a message. His theme was, the Holy Ghost said to him, it's okay not to be okay. And that was to the men. It's okay not to be okay as long as you're on your way to being okay. See? Because sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not okay and I don't measure up. It's okay not to be okay as long as you're on your way to being okay. Anybody understand that? Because we're all going to grow and we're going to make some mistakes. But as long as we learn from those mistakes and we seek God in all that we do, our mistakes should get less and less and we should get wiser and wiser, because I know there's a scripture in Proverbs 4:18, it says, but the path of the just, that be me, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So we should be getting brighter and brighter in our thinking and our choices as we seek God. And so in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9, I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, So here's the key, that you're going to be filled with what? With the knowledge of His will. That's His word, right? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing what? In the knowledge of God. See, when we're too busy, we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. Now listen, this is the verse, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according what? To His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's go back to verse 11, the beginning. Strengthened with all might. That word might is dunamis. That means miracles. It means God's ability. So we're strengthened with the power of God according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with what? Joyfulness. That's a good marker or a good indicator. When we don't have joy, then you might want to look and see, am I being strengthened with His power and ability, or am I doing it on my own strength? When I don't have joy about something, it's a good indicator sometimes. Let me read this in the Message translation in verse 11. Colossians 1 in verse 11 in the Message, it says, "We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy." And one of the questions that I'm going to ask today is, or a point that we're going to make, is that greater grace also comes to do what? Strengthen us. Grace is to strengthen us. And strengthen us with what? His mighty power. And so grace is meant to strengthen. And I'm going to just share some points here, because the Lord was pointing out to me that society, we're all busy. And we can get so busy that we become weakened and not strengthened. And we'll just make some points about that. Here's some quotes from Vince Lombardi. And you can look these up yourself. It says, "The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will." He makes this other statement, and this is an interesting one. "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." When you get fatigued, it affects your mind, and it affects your choices, and you get fatigued, and sometimes we just say, forget it. I'll give up. I'm going to sit down. So fatigue, getting tired physically and not being strengthened in your inner man, can cause fatigue. And I've seen it, and I'm sure you have too. Maybe you've even experienced this. I have. That's why I find sickness and disease devilish. Because sickness and disease will work against the body and work against the mind and cause fatigue to the point where the person just says, forget it, I don't want to fight. And they just give up because they're fatigued from the sickness and they're weakened and they just give up. And I've gotten to those places where I've just been fatigued from fighting something. Not give up, but what I did do is I started inserting the Word of God and just play it and 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 play it 24 hours a day. And this was time we had cassettes, turn it off, flip it, fall asleep, flip it, turn it on, flip it, turn it on, flip it, turn it on, and found my spirit getting charged and strengthened. My physical body wasn't any better, but I had strength here to say, no, change. It gave you strength to literally get yourself up out of bed. And the inner strength is key, because if we keep running and keep running and keep running and we don't feed this, we become weakened. And that we can find ourselves in a very compromising situation, and when we least expect it, bang, something happens. And then we're hit, and we're like, we're reeling. And we're now trying to fight against it. And you may do good for a while, but if you're not strong and strengthened and maintain that strength, you can become weakened and fatigued, and it affects the mind. And it's absolutely crucial. I've seen it with people here in this ministry that have gone home to be with the Lord. You go and visit them, and you say, yeah. Next thing you know, they just say, I don't want to fight anymore. How did they get there? They became weakened from sickness. And it can become, and sickness is, to me, it's just insidious. And, you know, when sometimes we've gone places, or the deacons and elders are gone, and you see people sitting up in hospitals watching TV and blah, 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 and you say, shut that cotton-picking thing off. Just shut it off. Don't you know you're in a battle for your life? Shut it off. Am I speaking the truth? I'm speaking the truth. And people need to be plugged in and stay plugged in, because that's where your strength's going to come from. It's going to come from the Word of God, and grace is going to come. Strength is going to come. And you'll be able to stand. See, that scripture, you know, can apply to a whole lot of things when it says that man digged down deep and built a foundation for his house. That house is going to stand against all kinds. It says when the winds and storms blew and beat against that house, it could be financial, it could be health, it could be family, whatever's going to beat against it, you'll be able to withstand and not fold up. So God's grace is a source of strength to believers. And His strength keeps us and helps us from being defeated. And it's an impartation. Grace is an impartation of God's might and power in our lives. Let's turn over. Let me just see here. This is a scripture. You may not be there yet, and that's the key. But don't give up. Don't give up. Let me read this scripture to you. This is in Second Thessalonians in verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." So faith is going to grow. It's supposed to grow, and when our faith grows, and as our faith grows, so does grace, doesn't it? Because faith accesses grace wherein we stand. So as our faith grows, so does our grace grow. And we need to make that in mind. It's progressive. Faith is progressive. I think that's what we're saying. And so is grace. Grace is progressive. And the word strengtheneth, and you can look up this word yourself in the Greek, strengtheneth, it means to be strengthened or to be endued with strength, to receive strength, be strengthened, increase in strength, to be made strong. And as we're strengthened, we're being made strong. Where? In our spirit. And it is so key. We all get busy. I mean, even in the ministry, the demands of the ministry, the demands of what people want, the people need, the ministry needs, you can just find yourself, you look up and you're busy. But one of the things that I'm doing is, and I'm starting to make this a habit, is to just be quiet before the Lord, at least an hour a day. Just be quiet, not answering the phone. I'm just being quiet. Nobody's going to reach me. And I get quiet so I can hear and hear His direction, hear direction for me, hear direction for the ministry. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. And all of us individually, if you want direction for your life, you're going to have, God will give you direction if you get quiet. You need to start, even if it's 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, you need to take a good hour a day, couple hours a day, and just find space to be quiet so that your mind isn't talking. You're just quiet. And God will start giving you supernatural things when we do that. Because I'm going to tell you the things that are going to start happening in the earth, we're going to need to know. We're going to need to have His direction. And I personally believe, I was listening, the Holy Ghost directed me to listen to this radio program last Monday. It was on Sid Roth. And this pastor is the senior pastor of an Assembly of God church in Louisiana. His name is Shane Warren. And God had been showing him things about the United States for many, many years. And he started to talk about things that God has been revealing to him about the potential catastrophic things that are going to come upon the earth. And this is not just one. I mean, I've listened to a number of what you would call modern-day prophets that God has been speaking to about the condition of this country, and that if it doesn't change direction, there are going to be some very, very disastrous things that are going to happen. But the wonderful thing was, and what was exciting to me in this particular message, I'll digress here for a minute, was last Sunday night, anybody who was there last Sunday night, Pastor Judy started speaking about, was referencing a scripture in the Israelites in Exodus in Goshen. And she said, it was so dark in Egypt, you couldn't see in front of your face, but they had lights in Goshen. And she started to talk about and started to slip over. See, because the prophet's anointing will start to operate, and it doesn't matter who it comes through, it's all going to be saying the same thing. Whether it's this pastor in Louisiana, whether it's Bob Jones or whoever it is. And she started slipping over saying that Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, was not enough. That there's going to be one calamity after another, after another, after another, after another, until people cry out to God. But there'll be lights in Goshen. For those who serve Him and seek Him, you won't be affected by it. See, and that was her. That was the point. That Egypt didn't want anything to do with God. They were in the dark. But the Israelites had lights. And so there could be and may be calamity one after another that come upon this earth for those that don't serve Him and don't want to serve Him and reject Him, but there'll be lights in Goshen. And we need to pray. That's why it's important as we come out on Friday nights. We're not just praying for this church. We're praying for the climate of this earth and praying that things change. The hearts of the people change. Because I've heard some prophecies, and it's not good. what God is revealing to the prophets. It's not good. It's very, very serious. This particular man, senior pastor, Bob Jones of Bob Jones University, God's been showing him things since 1975. Same things, almost identical what this pastor shared. And said that the last few administrations in this country, not just the Democratic administration, but the Republican administration, so it don't matter who it is, if the church doesn't pray, it don't go well with us. And he said that they've been pressuring Israel to give up things and to divide Jerusalem up. And this is what the Lord told him. He said, if they pressure Israel to divide Jerusalem, I will divide their country. And he said, the Lord showed him, there's going to be a split right up the middle of this country, up the Mississippi, and divide it. I'm saying it won't be good. But in Goshen, those that worship him and cry out to him, it'll go well with you. Because grace should distinguish us and distinguish the church, just like it did between Egypt and Israel. There should be supernatural wealth. And this pastor also said God has been showing him what to invest in. Even where money is concerned in investments, he said, I've been telling my congregation, Dr. Bill Winston's been doing it for years, invest in this, as God reveals it, invest in this to protect. I believe God's doing that and is going to do that for the church. Those that worship and honor him, he's going to say, put it over there, you'll be safe. Don't touch it. Everybody else will be going down another path. Bang! I'll say, what happened? Well, you don't serve God. No wisdom, no light. And I believe God is going to protect the church right in the middle of a mess. There's going to be supernatural wealth and wealth transfer. I do. And we'll be protected. Won't even touch us. So we don't have to be concerned about the things that are going to come on this earth. All we're supposed to do is pray and intercede and seek God in all that we do. And the reason I guess I'm bringing this out is that grace will strengthen us during these times. We won't become faint of mind. Like, what's going to happen to me? Why should you even be concerned if you're serving God and you're seeking him and worshiping him? You don't have to be concerned. You can put your head down and rest at night and know that he's your God. And he will protect you. So one of the things, let's take a moment and let's look at, let's turn over to Exodus. And we'll just look at a few scriptures here. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 and verse 2, talking about God's grace, his strength to us. Exodus 15, verse 2, it says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Another scripture, you can look this up real quick, Nehemiah, very quickly. I'll just read this here to you. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then we're going to look at a few psalms. This is Psalm 27. Psalm 27, familiar verse in verse 1. Psalm 27 in verse 1. We all know it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See? That's what we're talking about. Why should I be afraid? He's the strength of my life. Now look at verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord. See? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall do what? What is he going to do? Strengthen thy heart. And how does it come about? Waiting on the Lord. See? It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 29. So we need to wait on the Lord. It says, he shall strengthen thy heart. Psalm 29 and verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 39. Psalm 37 and verse 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. What does the next part say? He is their strength when? In the time of trouble. He is our strength in the time of trouble. Glory to God. Now, why don't you jump over to Psalm 46. Let's go to Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's the one we need to get our strength from. He's our refuge and strength. Let's turn to Philippians. Let's go to the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4, familiar scripture verse. Philippians 4 and 13. Philippians 4, 13. It says what? I can do all things through Christ, which does what? Strengtheneth me. Listen to this. This is the Good News Translation. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. That's the Good News Translation. I have the strength to face all conditions. How? By the power that Christ gives me. So that means if I have his strength, I can face all conditions. Every single one of them. But if I don't have his strength, I could become faint at heart and weak at heart, faint in mind. So he's the one that's going to strengthen. And here's the other thing. If you'll notice this, the tense, the T-E-N-S-E, the tense of that word, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth or strengthens me. He didn't say strengthened. He didn't say past tense one time. It's continuous. He's strengthening. He strengtheneth me. So it's a continual process. He didn't just give us one limited dose. He's strengthening us as we do what? Seek him depend on Him. Now, let me read this in the Amplified Bible. This is Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. This is the Amplified Bible. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. That means either he was abased or he abounded. He was not disquieted or disturbed. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. That means confined or restricted. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Now this is verse 13. I have strength. See, this is what we're talking about, strength today. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything. I like that. Equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He infuses my inner man with inner strength. With what? Grace. It's the grace of God. Because when you look at this scripture verse, if you look at the scripture, that's why when it says you need to rightly divide the word of God, you can see before he made that profound statement in verse 13, he's making some other statements in verse 11 and 12, isn't he? He's saying, I was abased, I was abound, I'm able to live in whatever conditions I find myself in, I'm satisfied. But also, go to 2 Corinthians, back up just a little bit to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verses 23 in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 23 and look at some of the things that Paul endured. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Oh, this is verse 22. So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Well, now let me read this. I have this in the New Living Translation. Let me read that because it reads easier. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. This is the New Living Translation. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 time I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, beside all this, I have the daily burden of my concerns or concern for all the churches. And so he had some things that he faced. And we can see that when you look at chapter 11, then it rolls right into chapter 12, and it begins to talk about a man that was caught up to the third heaven. And when you read verse 6 and verse 7, it says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to do what? Buffet me." Well, we just read all these buffetings. "Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," Jesus, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength." Talking about strength today. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So then what does Paul say? "Most gladly then." See, he got the revelation. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Strong in what? In the grace of God. So we need to be conscious of the fact that when these things come, even Paul got to the place of being weary. But who did he go to? He went to Christ. He went to the Lord and asked for help. And God gave him the help. He said, "No, my grace is sufficient." To do what? Strengthen you. Because without it, without the strength of God here, we're going to become weakened physically and mentally. You will become faint. Go to Galatians, a very familiar scripture. Just want to point out a couple of scriptures here. Go to Galatians 6. So we keep hooked up with that. Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Galatians 6. It says, "And let us not be what? Weary in what? Well-doing." Not weary in bad doing, weary in well-doing. "And for in due season we shall reap what? If we do what? Faint not." See, so we can become weary and we can do what? Faint. And we can faint. See. And when you look up, this is the interesting thing, when you look up those words, weary, weary means, listen to this, "and let us not be weary." Weary in the Greek means to be utterly spiritless. That means, another word is to be wearied out. It means exhausted. Spiritless. You are literally exhausted. And this says here, "let us not be that in well-doing." Let us not get to the place where we are totally exhausted in well-doing. So you see people say, "Well, you know, I got to do this for the Lord. I got to do this for the Lord." Yeah, okay. But not to the place of being exhausted. And it also says, we're going to reap, for in due season we shall reap. If we do what? Faint not. Faint also means to be exhausted. You mean the same thing. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Go forward a little bit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. It's the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, "But ye brethren," who's he talking to here? He's talking to the church. "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." See, same thing. Don't get weary. Go to 2 Corinthians. Back up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Verse 16. See, now back up a little bit. I think it would be good to back up to verse. Boy. Back up to verse 7. Back up to verse 7 so we can look at the full intent of this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of" who? "God, and not us." Look at this. "We are troubled on every side." See, we're painting a picture here. "Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus..." What is going to be the life of Jesus? "Might be made manifest" where? "In our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith," talking about faith now, "according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." Listen, "for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace," so talking about grace today, "might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not." We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Is renewed day by day. Renewed. And that word, when you look this up, I tell you, this is exciting. In the Greek, the word renewed means new strength and vigor is given to one. New strength and vigor. You can look that up, Bible Study Tools or Gateway. You can look it up. It says to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. So that means that though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed with a new kind of life, a new kind of strength. It says new strength and vigor is given. So we're being renewed by the grace of God, that inner strength. And so even though we may get tired, see, this is the key, we don't want to faint. We don't want to faint. Now, we're there. Jump over to Colossians. I want to focus on one word here. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. It's the same Greek word, being renewed with new strength and vigor. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Our inner man is renewed how? In knowledge. And that renewing, it's the same Greek word as 2 Corinthians 4:16. Renewed. It says the inward man is renewed day by day. So we want to make sure that we don't become faint of mind or feeble of mind. Now let's just hold on a second here. This summer, when we were in, actually in the fall, when we were in Massachusetts in Seekonk, we were at an all-faith crusade. Kenneth Hagin was teaching. And he made a statement which I thought was significant. I'd heard his father teach on faith, and he teach on faith for all these years. I never heard them say this. And I think he said afterwards, he said, wow, I had never said that before. But he said, we're all going to face mountains in life, every one of us. He said, but don't ever stand before your mountain with your mouth closed. He said, never face the mountain in your life with your mouth closed. He said, because we're all going to face mountains. And he said, don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. And he also said, don't let the mountain out-talk you. You know what I mean by that? Because mountains talk. I'm big, I'm bad, you're going down, you're going to get run over. And so mountains will talk. He said, don't let the mountain out-talk you. And he also made another comment. He said, the mountains in your life can't get any bigger, but you can. You grow in faith. And so the mountain in your life can't get any bigger, but you can, spiritually. So it's important that as we grow in grace, that we are to be strengthened with His grace, that we can stand in front of these mountains and cause them to move. Let's look at one more scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now let's look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction, we just read it, of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. And that's where you're going to become wearied and faint. When you become weakened, you become wearied and faint in your mind. And it's important that in life that we become strengthened, and when we grow in grace, we become strong in the Lord, and we're strengthened to the point that our minds are not wearied. And we don't become faint in our minds with things that we're faced with. I believe that some of the founding principles and founding individuals of this nation, if you read some of their documentaries, you read that they were very spiritual and they spent time, they sought God. And I believe that some of the issues, the early issues that faced this country, the reason that it didn't fail was because you had people in authority that weren't wearied and faint in their minds. And so today what can happen is if we don't pray for the leadership that's in our country, the issues that face the leadership today, the complexities that are facing them, they can become wearied and faint and just make choices. But they're not the right choices. And they can become weary. So we need to make sure we're praying for those in authority and making sure that we stay strengthened in grace. And grace is meant to strengthen us. Strengthen us where? Here. Inside. That'll affect the outside. And so I just share that today because I just have this impression, I have this strong impression that this is peacetime and we need to be working on the inside because stuff on the outside is going to happen. And we need to be at peace and settled that God is my strength when stuff happens. Because I can tell you what happens, and I say this, I know we all say this sometimes. Have you ever heard this? I'd like to believe that I would do that when that happens, or if that happens to me in my life. I'd like to believe I would do this. But you never know what you will do until you're in that situation. You say, oh, yeah, I'd do that. Okay. All right. You may find out. And you may find out what's inside of you. Because as Brother Hagin said, we're all going to face mountains. We're all going to face stuff that comes. And we'd like to think that we're more than a conqueror. And that's good to profess. We should profess it. But you'll never know until you are faced with it, the choices that you'll make. And you don't want to find that you will be weak and faint. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be exhausted in well-doing. So we want to make sure that we maintain private time to pray. We want to get our hearts strengthened for the journey that we're on. And and the reason I say you'd like to think, because when we speak with members or non-members that are faced with sometimes life or death choices, sometimes it's very troubling when you have conversations with folks. You realize, what have you been doing? What have you been doing the whole time you've been coming to church here? What have you been doing? You've just been listening, shouting, hallelujah, having a good time, praising God, and then you walk out. It's like you say, well, this man looked in the mirror and walked away, didn't even know who he was. You've got to say, I'm here so that I can grow in grace, and so that when I do face these things, I am going to walk through it. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but I am going to come through. And some folks that you talk with, they either haven't asked God, they haven't been reading the Bible, they haven't been meditating in the Word of God, and now they're faced with a situation. And they want you to say a magic prayer. You know what I mean by that? I don't mean just say this little prayer and it's all going to go away. It don't work that way. And so we're here to help and to guide you in the Scriptures. And if God gives us a word to help or to, you know, we lay hands on the sick. But your faith needs to be developed that when hands are laid on you, whether you feel something or not, I've got it. And now I'm going to walk in it, and I believe God's healing power is at work in me. These things have to be developed it's like a person who prepares for a marathon, and then it's marathon day, and you're not ready. You ain't ready. And you're huffing and puffing after the first quarter mile. And you're just not ready. See, we need to be ready. And we're just sharing, you know, from our hearts as pastors sometimes that we all, whether it's me here, I've heard other pastors say this. I thought it was a statement well put. A pastor is anointed to teach it, but he's not anointed to live it. He's going to have to live it just like you. And if you come up short, it's because he wasn't living it like you. A pastor stands in an office, and God will speak to them and give them the food for the sheep, but he ain't anointed to live it. Does that make sense to everybody? You all got to do the same thing. Everybody said, you know, you got to put your pants on the same way or your socks or whatever. You all got to put them on the same way. You got to live it. Huh? You all go to Walmart. Right. There you go. That's another way of saying it, right? That's right. But the point is, when it says you put on the new man, that didn't say everybody but the pastor. It didn't say that. It says you. That means me. That means you. That means everybody. Office is there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of their ministry. So you're anointed to do that, but you are going to have to live this Christian life just like everybody else. And so when times of trouble come, you need to be strengthened with might on this inner man. That'll get you through. And you'll come through. And you won't have to worry about it. You know, Pastor Sarah, the Holy Ghost gave Pastor Sarah another, I call it a little analogy or whatever, I thought was great. When pressure comes and the squeeze is put on you, what should come out? What's in it? So if gun smoke is in there, or some other television show, that's what's going to come out when the squeeze is put on there, right? But if the Word of God is in there, that's what's going to come out. See, it's another way of putting it. Pressure is going to come, whether it's in the family or on the job or health, pressure is going to come. And Pastor Judy made a good statement I thought was really good. Pressure is our friend. It's not our enemy. Pressure is really a friend, not an enemy. Because it pressure perfects us in things. Adversity perfects things in us. And so sometimes we look at pressure as an adversary, and really it's not. Because if we're strengthened, then we're going to come through. Praise God. I've shared enough. And I think that there are going to be some things in 2013 we need to be strengthened and strong in the Lord. But in Goshen, the lights are on.